Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. In the next 60 minutes, businessman Richard Jackpa faces off with state prosecutor in a confrontational cross-examination in the ongoing ambulance procurement trial as he challenges the AG to provide his version of their WhatsApp chat. Stay for details because the AG has accepted Richard Jackpa's challenge and further files fresh processes, including evidence of their WhatsApp conversations.
Jackpa tendered some documents in respect of the chat. We also say you're going to tender the full complement of the chat.
You want to stay for details for the dramatic twists and turns in the ongoing ambulance case, and Ghana police vows to bring perpetrators in the killing of two security men in Waterbrook as they commence investigations into the incident. We'll get to hear from some residents who say they now live in fear.
And for right now, how can we be rest assured that our security is safeguarded?
And we checked around to see whether we could find him. Unfortunately, we didn't find him.
Meanwhile, MP for Bole appeals to Interior Ministry to take urgent steps to end the spate of mysterious deaths in the area.
And we are calling on the police to be up and doing. This is very basic to my thinking, that if people are killed and they are still in the same vicinity today, and no arrest has been made yet, Mr. Speaker, we think that some more has to be done.
Also tonight, Health Ministry and government caution to hasten slowly with plans to implement a mandatory health insurance policy for non-resident visitors to Ghana amidst demands for a transparent process.
How were they selected? When was this tender opened? Do we have transparency in that respect? The things that should happen before this is arrived at hadn't happened, or if they had happened, we're not aware of it. So was it sole sourcing? If it was sole sourcing, why?
Also in business, Ghana's industry sector overtakes services sector to record the highest growth rate of 6.8% in quarter one of 2024.
And in sports history, in Ghana, footballers, all female officials set to handle this weekend's MTN FA Cup.
And then much later in our national science and maths quiz, it looks like the boys and girls from Methodist Senior High School Takrady have found the equation to building an unsinkable ship because they are promising to sail to the nationals or the finals of the 2024 National Science and Maths Quiz.
Get to the river, you know how to cross it. More than Titanic ship, it can't even sink. Yeah, expect nothing but the best from Methodist Senior High.
People have said that before in the song.
Of course, that was them. We are Methodist Senior High.
We have all the details from the qualifiers here on Newsnight. You want to join us with your thoughts, your comments via WhatsApp is 055-1111-997. I am Emefa Apau.
And my name is Evans Mensah. Let's start from the court, shall we? Because Richard Jackpa clashed with the state prosecutor in a very confrontational cross-examination in the ongoing ambulance procurement trial as he throws a challenge to the AG to provide his version of that explosive WhatsApp chat that we've seen.
Now, in this painstaking proceeding on the first full day of prosecution's cross-examination of Richard Jagba, which focused mostly on his early days as a military officer, the third accused in the ongoing ambulance procurement trial revealed he was victimized by the hierarchy of the Ghana Armed Forces because of his father. Well, Latif Idris was in court. He joins us with a blow-by-blow account of what transpired in court. So let's run through the focus of today's prosecution.
Yeah, so today started off with a complaint by the Deputy Attorney General who had raised concern that on certain WhatsApp platforms, portions of the previous proceedings in court has been recorded and it's been circulated by someone we do not know. The trial judge didn't take lightly. She quickly called the leadership, that is a leading lawyer for Dr. Kisilato Forsen, for Richard Jagba, and then the prosecution into a conclave. It lasted for like 20 to 25 minutes, and when they returned, the judge issued a directive that national security should take up the issue, investigate the source of that unsanctioned audio recording, and get to the bottom of it. She went on to say that if it continues, then she will be left with no option than to take the rest of the proceedings in camera, and that only the ones giving testimonies and the lawyers will be allowed, and you know, nobody else will be allowed to take part in the
One trial. Was expecting a showdown today, hoping that the Attorney General himself will be the one cross-examining Richard Jagba. Was there a particular reason why he wasn't the one that did it?
If you recall, the trial judge had advised the Attorney General, Godfrey Aboadame, to recuse himself from...
From the ongoing
trial, she based that advice on the portion of the audio recording that has been tendered in by Richard Jagba's lawyers, where the AG was heard telling Richard Jagba to get medical excuse form so he could extend the trial date for AG to travel and return to come and meet him in the witness box.
Yeah.
So that was the advice given by the trial judge. But today, the Attorney General showed up in court. Some were expecting that he was going to defy that advice and go on to cross-examine the third accused, Richard Jagba, but he didn't. It was the Director of Public Prosecution who stood on her grounds to cross-examine Richard Jagba. She started off with Richard Jagba's days as a military officer and asked him why he got dismissed from the military. Richard Jagba said he was never dismissed from the military and that he was victimized. He went back to the days of the revolution and said that his father, who was then secretary to a unit which was serving as the administrative wing of the cadres at the time, his father was the secretary of that unit, and they helped to get Jerry John Rawlings out of prison. And so those military officers who knew his father knew him as well. So when he got into the military, he never found favor with any of the top senior officers of the military. And so the moment he was enlisted, commissioned, they started victimizing him. He went on to say that Jerry John Rawlings was the one who commissioned his intake. Which he came tops as the marksman of that intake. That when it comes to weapon handling, he was the one who topped that intake. And so Jerry John Rawlings, against the military's own deployment, sent a letter that asked that he, Richard Jagba, be deployed to the Gonda barracks against an earlier deployment by the military hierarchy. So when he got there, they saw him as a spy who had been sent by Jerry John Rawlings to come and spy on what they are doing and report same to him. So his victimization, he said, started from there and then, and that led to him being, he didn't say dismissed, but he kept on saying he was victimized, even though the AG said you were dismissed from the military.
Okay, well, then it came down to the meat of the matter, which is this WhatsApp chat and the conversations and the recordings. Well, he's been challenging the AG to provide his own evidence. Really, tell us a bit more about it.
So Richard Jagba, he tendered some documents into evidence, which include the WhatsApp chat between himself and the Attorney General. And they've been, if you listen to commentary outside or within the court of public opinion, particularly the NDC, they've been making the claim that the AG has not denied that there's been conversation between Richard Jagba and Godfrey Dame, the audio recording. They've been making those claims. So today, the Attorney General has provided the entire WhatsApp chat. That is according to the Attorney General. That's what they've presented today, 68 messages from Richard Jakpa, and the Attorney General responded to only two.
Okay.
That is according to the Attorney General. They've tendered that into evidence in a bid to undo whatever Richard Jakpa had already turned in as evidence to make his case.
Mm-hmm.
So that is on the score of the WhatsApp chat between Richard Jakpa and then the Attorney General, Godfrey Eboah-Dami.
Well, you've been speaking to Alfred Chiayaboah on this particular fresh evidence that has been filed by the AG.
Deputy Attorney General is here. What do you make of Richard Jakpa's testimony today?
You've seen in the character of Richard Jakpa, saying that he was dismissed from the military.
We are doing a cross-examination, and that forms part of our cross-examination. And what you just heard is what you just said.
How difficult have you found Richard Jakpa to be in the witness box?
You were in court. You witnessed it. Make your own judgment.
At a point, DPP appeared to be frustrated with some of the answers Richard Jakpa was giving. You were in your seat. How did you feel?
She wasn't frustrated. She did a yeoman's job.
Now, from the answers from the accused person, are you surprised with them, especially so when they're asking one question and speaking about four
people? I think you pass your own judgment.
So the AG has come back to court today. I saw him passing questions to the DPP, mentioning questions to the DPP to ask Jakpa, has he defied the directive by this trial judge, and now he's taking, technically he's taking part of the ongoing trial, you would say?
Let me make this correction. There was no directive from the trial judge.
The advice.
Exactly. Advice, you watch out the space, whether the AG who stand to conduct the case or observe the proceedings.
But technically,
right, just like you, to be in court, mm-hmm. observe proceedings. As to whether you conduct the case, leave the space unless you have.
But technically, he is asking questions because he was passing questions to the DPP, dictating questions for her to ask Jakpa. That is technically taking part of.
He wasn't dictating questions to the DPP to ask. But if you are even a litigant in court, I mean, a subject matter of a certain litigation, don't reserve the right to be in court. Even if AG was the one being prosecuted, he has the right to be in court. And so today he came to court to observe proceedings, as you came to do.
You observed by the accused person, seeking to at least have the AG in what he wants to describe as a cross-examination of a sort, seeking to...
I think he was properly answered by a presiding judge, and I'll make no further comment. You were in court and you heard the comments.
From what you said to the Attorney General, do you feel the same that you love the opportunity to cross-examine to Jakpa himself?
You wait until we get to the end of the proceedings. If you come, you know. If you will not come, you also know.
Is it the case of the state that Richard Jakpa, by the documents that he put before the court, did not give the entirety of the conversations that went on between him and the Attorney General, and what his lawyers have been pushing is really not what happened?
You were in court. Jakpa tendered some documents in respect of the chats. We also said you're going to tender the full complement of the chats. And that's what we are seeking to do.
And you think the full complement is going to help your case?
Wait until we get there.
Because it appears he's now bringing in new stories that were not part of what they've tendered into evidence.
Don't be disturbed by that. You will handle everything in court.
Thank you very much.
So that's the Deputy Attorney General, Alfred Chiayaboah. Well, there was a lot of activity in court today, and thankfully, Latif has been walking us through. I heard you talk to the Deputy Attorney General about the passing of notes by the AG to the DPP. Really, explain to us, or you know, give us a sense of what actually happened, the demeanor of the AG whilst this was going on.
Yeah, so many expected that the AG would not show up in court to begin with, but then he came to court. But he wasn't the one who did the case.
Yeah.
He sat down quietly and listened to Richard Jakpa give his testimony. And at a point, you would see the Attorney General, Godfrey Eboah-Dami, putting something on paper and then passing same to the Director of Public Prosecution, who was the one doing the case.
Mm-hmm.
And you would also find the Attorney General whispering into the ears of the Deputy Attorney General, Chiayaboah, who was sitting to his right before the Director of Public Prosecution. And so they were conferring with each other as and when they had the opportunity to do so whilst the case was ongoing. Richard Jakpa, in some of his responses to the questions put to him by the Director of Public Prosecution, went all the way, like I started telling you about going back to the days of the cadres and revolution. Some of the responses got under the skin of the Attorney General, who at a point stood on his feet, even though he wasn't the one doing the case or directly involved in doing the case. He stood up in open court at a point to object to something Richard Jakpa had said about some of the conversations or some of the encounters Richard Jakpa claimed he had had with the Attorney General. Godfrey Ebo Adame didn't allow some of it to pass. He stood up and made it clear to the trial judge that he wouldn't allow this one to pass. And then the judge understood and said he should take his seat. He took his seat. But he could tell from where I was sitting that he wasn't happy with some of the responses by Richard Jakpa. Same applies to the Director of Public Prosecution, was cross-examining Richard Jakpa. At a point, she wasn't happy, pleased with some of the manner in which Richard Jakpa was answering the question. She didn't like that he wasn't answering the way she wanted it. And so she raised her voice at a point. You could tell she wasn't really happy with the way the accused person was giving responses to some of the questions.
And it's not over yet.
It's not over yet. Goes back on Thursday. Richard Jakpa will continue his being in the box. He'll be cross-examined by the Attorney General. Then when he is done, now the Attorney General has had 6 hours. Before today, Attorney General had 6 hours to cross-examine Richard Jakpa. The judge said now she's taking that time limit from it because of the manner in which Richard Jakpa started answering the questions. So she took that time, 6 hours. We don't know at the next trial date whether she's going to reinstate the 6 hours, she's going to cut it down to 4 or 3. We do not know. But when Richard Jakpa is done, now Big C will be the one next to be cross-examined.
Okay. Well, that's Latif Idris there giving us updates from what transpired in court today.
Well, let's bring in lawyer Samson Ladayinin, who has been following this very closely. And Samson, last week when I spoke to you, you had suggested that it would be the interest of the Attorney General himself for him not to cross-examine Jack. But today, he's not the one doing so. How significant is this to the state's case?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
I think the propriety is what they are doing presently, because it would have been odious, it would have presented a challenge if the Attorney General himself had to do it. So that's all I can say. As for what impact it makes, that's a completely different situation. And he not being the one doing it now does not actually make any difference.
I mean, and walk us through what you lawyers do. I mean, because you hear a lot of focus on Jakpa's military record, etc. Why was the... Because for Mia Maltos like us, we're wondering, but that's not the case. It's not an ambulance trial. This is not had nothing to do with the leak tape, for example. Were they trying to say something about his credibility?
Exactly the point, Evans. So if somebody told you that there is something going on that is not relevant, that does not impinge on the case, you need to weigh what they say carefully. Because in a criminal trial, just as in any other trial, the credibility of the witness is paramount, is central. So if they are taking him through his life, and every lawyer will do that, unless you didn't do a good research. You must do good research, know the background of the person you are dealing with, and you will try to impugn their character if the evidence is available to do so, and to be able to come to a point to say whether they are credible or they are not credible. So it helps the court to determine in the court's determination of what weight to put to particular characters and what they have to say before the court, regardless of the fact that they are sworn to an oath to do so.
Let's talk about this incident that happened just when the case was called today. This revelation that the court proceedings from last week may have been recorded. In fact, the judge then comes out of chambers, having met with the lawyers, to say that the national security should investigate that. Why is that a big deal if this was recorded? It's open court, is it not?
Yes, the court is opened, and as you read the constitution, you will discover, as it says in very plain language, that justice emanates from the people and it is administered by the judiciary for and on behalf of the people. It is the reason the people are allowed to participate in the justice system, including through the jury and assessor systems, and also sit in open sitting courts. But of course, there are certain matters that the courts will make sure they are heard only privately, including divorce matters and matters that border on child custody and the rest of them, and national security issues. But I am sure that even the journalists who are covering the program, this trial, they know that it is contempt of court, actually, to record the proceedings of the court. And the recording of the proceeding of the court actually includes taking notes. Now, Evans, the point of law, as we have known it all the time, beginning with the Courts Act, we have a law that dictates how the courts operate. It's called the Courts Act 1993. At 459, it provides in very specific terms, particularly in section 69, about how recording of proceedings before a court should take place. And people who have been duly mandated by the Chief Justice to either record by tape or take notes are the only ones permitted to do so, and they actually swear an oath to do the process. And once they are done taking the note, the transcript goes through a process which the judge must verify, and eventually the whole record will be certified. So if you go there and put up a recorder and record it, that is not certified. So journalists, for example, are only allowed to do so on permission. And it's not only in Ghana, in the U.S. and elsewhere, recording court proceedings must only be by permission. If it is not without permission, it can attract sanctions under contempt.
Samson, thank you very much. And MFR Power, you remember my own predicament because way back when I used to be a court reporter myself,
which you will never forget.
I was in the High Court, in the Court of Justice Jones Doce, and I didn't have any intention of playing this on radio. I just wanted it for accuracy. Mm-hmm. And the police officer was, taking his stroll through the aisle, trying to inspect what's happening, saw my record on my lap and was on. Indeed, I was recording, but had no intention of playing it. I just wanted to go and listen so that I can be sure what I was going to report. And I was called into the chamber and detained for a few hours in chambers. And subsequently, Dashis Jones Duce became a good friend of mine.
And I know you always remind us about what to do when
constantly, when you go to call the do's and don'ts. And then that appears to be the issue today. The state security have been asked to investigate who did the recording. Apparently, it's been circulated on social media. I haven't seen it.
I haven't heard it.
But the judge has brought to the attention of the judge today. We have more for you if you follow us across our many social media platforms on this, what MFR likes to call the blow-by-blow account of what happened in court today.
And you can join us with your thoughts and your comment of what you had so far. Also on WhatsApp is 055-111-1997. But I'll take you to the Upper West region now, Evans, because there are some killings that's emerging again. It used to happen when down a bit. it, but just today we're hearing about it again, and the Ghana police is vowing to bring perpetrators involved in the killing of two security men in the Wa municipality to book. In a statement, the police says they have commenced investigations into the incident, which has induced fear among many residents. The two incidents were recorded on Tuesday at the Wa East Education Service Office and the Wa Model JHS School. Join News Upper West Regional Correspondent Rafiq Salam has the rest of the details.
Residents of Konta, who are of multiple ethnic background, woke up this morning to the shocking news of the alleged slaughter of one of their own, Na Biengo Kobena. The 62-year-old father of six was found lying at the veranda of the satellite office for the Wa East District Education Office, where he works as a night security. The incident drew a large crowd of residents and passers-by to the scene. They stood quiet, many with grim and bearded tears, while they kept vigil over the dozens of police detectives searching the body of the deceased and the crime scene. Watching few yards away from the scene of the crime is the fourth son of the alleged slain native of Keleu, Na Biengo Ezekiel Kojo. He is yet to come to terms with what transpired. He recounted his last meeting and words with his extrovert father.
Yesterday, Sunday was Father's Day. They asked me about that and say, what celebration can we celebrate? So once he said that, I said, oh, what do you want? He asked me, he want one drink. So I bought a drink for him. I think that's the drink that I bought to him, and that's all.
So it means that those were your last moment with your father?
Of course.
Okay, now he's been stabbed to death. What do you want to be done?
Holy God. And now...
Also at the crime scene are members of the Upper West Regional Security Council, led by the Upper West Regional Minister, Stephen Yakubu, who kept his tour of the Sesala West District on the hiatus following the incident. Residents of Konta says they are shell-shocked about the incident and now lives in fear. Julius Yurunoba is the youth chief of Konta.
We have to live in fear. If this thing can happen to him, it can equally happen to anybody.
Despite the expression of living in fear, Minister Stephen Yakubu has his assurance for the public.
To assure the entire Wa people that security services will be patrolling, will do what they need to do to make sure that everyone is safe.
Rolling out of Konta and to the Wa Model Junior High School is the next scene of the suspected murder of the school's night security man, Sidi Tarsong. Mama Hassan Tairu is the assistant headmaster of Wa Model Junior High School.
We came early in the morning. Usually we come before he goes home, around 5. So today we got here and we saw his bicycle, including his pump. And we checked around to see whether we could find him. Unfortunately, we didn't find him. So we saw some traces of car ties. So we followed up and checked behind our toilet and almost everywhere. Some of the students said they have seen the car pass in a certain direction. So we followed up and ended at around a nearby forest where we saw some drops of blood on it. So we saw that it was freshly dark place with some burning of a mat and some clothing.
The sea of people who thronged to the scene of the crime are deeply worried to the marrow, wondering whether the issue of suspected murders of security men have crawled back to the community. They are simply asking one question: whether the investigative report that were done by the security service has been thrown to the dogs.
Mumuni Jamil wants the security agencies, especially the police, to up the ante in their investigations and let the public know the outcome of their previous investigations.
Events has happened. We have not heard anything. The case has come to sleep. And for right now, how can we be rest assured that our security is safeguarded?
The scene at the family house of Na Biengo Kobena is enveloped in grief, emotion, and uncontrollable wailing. For now, there's nothing to stop them from grieving unless the perpetrators of the callous act are arrested. Reporting for JNews,
Rafiq Salam. Wa.
Well, meanwhile, the Ghana Police Service has commenced an investigation and into the circumstances surrounding the death of these two persons in the municipality. My colleague Michael Ashale joins us in the studio with details of what the police statement says. Let's go through it.
Yeah, MFA. So this will be the very first time in a very long time the Ghana Police Service is putting something on their social media handle. So it says that the Ghana Police has commenced investigation into the circumstances leading to the death of two persons in the Wa municipality of the Upper West region. The two incidents were recorded today, 18th June 2024, at the Wa East Basic, Wa East Education Service Office and the Wa Model JHS School. We would like to assure the public, especially the residents of Wa, to remain calm as the police work to get those involved arrested to face justice. And that's where the statement ends.
Okay, well, we've been hearing from the Wa Central MP on this matter, Evans.
Yes, we have. That's Rashid Purpo. He wants the police to be very quick about its planned investigations to the matter to avert more killings.
And not much is done to investigate and bring out the murderers and perpetrators of this crime. And we are calling on the police to be up and doing. This is very basic to my thinking, that if people are killed and they are still in the same vicinity today, and no arrest has been made yet. The Speaker, we think that some more has to be done and that some investigation has to be made to stretch beyond the limits of the people in the community. And the Interior Minister must also sit up. It's becoming too much for him to witness all this and not to tell Ghanaians what is happening. So, Mr. Speaker, apart from asking the police to do something about it, we are asking him to be present here to report to us exactly what has happened and what they will do to address this very dangerous situation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Well, well. Well, Evans, we can hear from the regional minister himself, Stephen Yakubu. He was on the site earlier and told us this.
We've just been told that it was a very deep throat, like cats, like a human being being slaughtered. It looks like if they hit him with a stone, got him unconscious, and then slitted the throat. We were asking whether there was some kind of struggle here and there, but it seems as if it's a one blow to the head and then the cut. I also wanted to know whether there's some human parts that was taken. So far, it doesn't show that, but of course, as they do more investigation, we'll get to know that. So that is where we are.
Has it come to your notice that there's a similar incident within the town? Within town?
Around the one
Around one model. We have beheaded another man.
We are just on our way there to find out whether indeed what they are saying is true. So from here, we are just on our way there.
The people of Konta are saying that they are living in fear. So what assurance you have for them?
Well, it has just happened. That is why the entire RESEC is here this morning. We have to go back and then know what to do. Thank you. But we want to assure the entire Wa people that the security services will be patrolling.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
We will do what they need to do to make sure that everyone is safe.
So that is the Upper West region. I want to take you to the Savannah region, where there's a similar occurrence there involving a number of killings. It's been described as serial killings. In fact, the MP for Bole, Yusuf Sulemana, is asking the Interior Minister and Rikwatu to put in place measures to deal with this too. And it's one that we've been following also. The MP says a mysterious death plaguing the area is becoming a source of worry and needs urgent attention.
Have you killed? And even before that, there were serial killings taking different forms. And I think that this is a very important matter, and I want to draw your attention to it so that the Interior Minister can come to this house and brief us and give some hope to those areas that are affected. Last night, for instance, Mr. Speaker, I decided to take a walk in the border township. And by 8:30, almost everybody was asleep, self-imposed curfew. We cannot continue in this manner. And so, Mr. Speaker, I want to use this platform to appeal to the Minister of Interior to do more. Let me also add that 3 days ago, the former president, who was in Bole, had to also go to the police office to encourage the policemen and women to do their best. But I interacted with them.
So this all playing out on the floor of Parliament today when Parliament reconvened. We also heard from the majority side, led by the Majority Chief Whip, Frank Anodompre.
Speaking solidarity, for lives to be lost is unacceptable, and our hearts go out there to my dear friend from Bole Bamboe. And so join your nation on the call for the Speaker, for the Minister to apprise the House on happiness. Just not too sure if we can give a date. You know, these are security matters, and often we have to give the Minister notification. Then, before they come to the House, they have to prepare. So I'll leave that discretion to the Speaker. But as soon as possible, I'm in total agreement, I'm saying the same thing. As soon as possible, the Minister should be programmed, but he also needs to be given time to prepare and come brief the House properly. So on that score, we will solidarize with our colleague. Thank you.
There was a decision on this by the second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Andrew Siamamaku, who wants some further consultations before a briefing is done next week to the House.
Employ the member to have a personal discussion with the Minister first. Because at times, some of these things, even though it's security matters, there might be certain information that he can discuss with you before even coming to the chamber. So if you will be with me, I will wish that probably you seek personal discussion with the minister first.
No.
If that will not do, then we can invite the minister next week to come.
And that there is the second Deputy Speaker of Parliament. You're still live here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. And James Ashan is joining us with business right now. When we return, we'll take you to the Health Ministry, where government has been cautioned to hasten slowly with plans to implement a mandatory health insurance policy for non-resident visitors to Ghana amidst demands for a transparent process.
Elected. When was this tender opened? Do we have transparency in that respect? The things that should happen before this is arrived at hadn't happened, or if they had happened, we're not aware of it. So was it sole sourcing? If it was sole sourcing, why?
All right, coming up in business this evening, Ghana's industry sector overtakes services sector to record the highest growth rate of 6.8% in quarter one of 2024. And we'll bring you some reactions as economist Professor Patrick Isumin point out a breakdown of the figures does not show good performance of the manufacturing sub-sector. Business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTM Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, on Pepsi and Chaco and Hebo.
Right.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Oma.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Oma.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
We are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom, and my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUST Campus, UCC, Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Water is needed all day, all night. So, remember Syntex Tank, all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex Tank. A strong, a tough. Water is needed all day, all night. So, remember Syntex Tank, all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex Tank. A strong, a tough.
Joboy! Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm off for me don't want to be maybe mamu more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mamu lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Hey. Introducing the new President Charcoal Pack with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
Hello, my name is Mami Akia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family health care plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
Well, Welcome back to Business on News Tonight with me, James Ishin. Let's settle for the details. First off, the latest data from the Ghana Statistical Service reveals that the industry sector achieved the highest growth rate of 6.8% in the first quarter of 2024. Chief Government Statistician Professor Samuel Kobnenim attributes the impressive performance primarily to the mining and quarrying subsector, which saw a substantial growth of 12.9%. Professor Nim shared the insight during a media briefing in Accra today.
The main contributors for the 6.8% growth rate in the industry sector was largely mining and quarrying with a growth rate of 12.9%, oil and gas, a subsector under mining and quarrying, growing by 13.8%, and we also saw construction and manufacturing growing respectively by 8.2% and 2.0%.
Professor Samuel Kobnenim is the Chief Government Statistician at the Ghana Statistical Service. Now, reacting to the data, economist Professor Patrick Isumin said, even though industry expanded, the breakdown of the figures showed no real improvement in manufacturing subsector, which has the tendency to create more jobs and enhance the country's export earnings.
Yeah, I think we always should even look within the disaggregate. I think within the industry itself, you see that mining and quarrying and construction are the ones that did relatively well. Don't forget that our oil production is counted in the mining and quarrying sector. So if you look at manufacturing, for instance, the growth rate was a paltry 2.2%. So I think we should not always get too fixated on the overall aggregate and not begin. We need to take, especially since the Statistical Service has been extremely helpful these days, providing us a lot more detail. We need to look into the detail and begin to figure out where things are. But overall, I think when you see industry growing, we should see it as a good thing. But it would be a bigger celebration for me if it was manufacturing that was expanding at double digits.
And that was economist Professor Patrick Isumin speaking. Meanwhile, the country's gross domestic product is estimated to have increased by 4.7% in the first quarter. That is January to March of 2024. Now, to some other stories, Treasury yields are expected to continue declining in the coming weeks. This is on the back of the 190 basis point decrease in headline inflation. Here is more Invest Business Desk report.
Ghana's annual inflation rate fell to 23.1% in May 2024 from 25%. This was largely due to a sharp decline of 420 basis points in food inflation to 22.6%. However, non-food inflation increased marginally by 10 basis points to 23.6% in May 2024 from 23.5% in April 2024. Also, month-on-month quickened by 140 basis points to 3.2% in May 2024. Data Bank Research said it expects a 190 basis points drop in the annual rate to broadly improve the inflation risk premium on yields. However, the high government demand for funds may imply some headwinds to the pace of decline.
And that was a Business Desk report. And now the aggrieved customers of the defunct Good Coast Fund Management Company has called on the chair of the Special Parliamentary Committee to probe the delay of the payment of monies due them. According to the convener of the group, Charles Nyami, an inquiry into the delay of the payment and the publishing of the report will quicken the payment process. The group also issued a two-week ultimatum to Dr. Papakwesi Ndom to pay customers interest on their locked-up funds. He spoke at a press conference in Accra.
We use this occasion to appeal to the chairman of the Special Parliamentary Committee set to investigate why the delay payment of customers of Gold Coast Fund Management, Honorable Joe Gatti, to as soon as practicable come out with the committee's report, which we believe it will or it may encourage the government to expedite its action on our payments.
And Charles Yame is the convener of the aggrieved customers of Gold Coast Fund Management. And that's all for Business on Newsnight with me, James Ishin.
James, thank you very much. Let's do some sports now. And Mr. Kranting is here.
Hi, Evans. Let's go straight into the stories. And the MTN FA Cup will, for the first time in history, witness an all-female set of match officials to handle the clash between Bofokatano and Nswatchiman FC. FIFA referee Rita Nkansa will be the center referee on the big day and assisted on the lines by FIFA-certified referees Alice Chakule and Patricia Chira as the assistant referees 1 and 2 respectively. Juliet Appiah will be the fourth official, with now Odufele Nnoti being the match commissioner on the day. The MTN FA Cup final will take place on Sunday, 23rd June 2024. That is coming Sunday. And Ghana Premier League side Asante Kotoko, they have mutually parted ways with 11 players following the end of the 2023-2024 league season. The Kumasi based side announced the various departures earlier today, which also includes club cap.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
Team Danlad Ibrahim, exciting winger Isaac Opong, and Ivorian midfielder Serge Zeze, who all played crucial roles in their league winning campaign just two seasons ago. That's all for sports. Back to you, Evans.
Thank you very much. And you're still live here on News Night on Joy 99.7 FM.
Well, it's time for us to do our Safe Water Project, and in our campaign today, we'll tell you the story of how some residents of the Upper East Region town of Pualugu are forced to depend on dirty water from streams and dugout for their household chores and sometimes to drink. Regional correspondent Albert Sori follows one of the residents as he goes in search of water for his family.
This is the Anogolayu suburb of Pualugu. For the people who live here, getting water to do anything is tantamount to going on a hunt. Wilson Aba, one of the residents here, goes in search of water for his family, accompanied by his four-year-old daughter. They go through a dense growth of trees and bushes. Wilson had hoped that this stream, about 600 meters behind his house, would have some water, but it has dried up. Finally, he arrives at another stream a little over a kilometer away from his house. This one contains some stagnant, milky water.
We drink it, we use it for cooking, we use it for a lot. If you have nothing to do about the cleanness of the water, all you can say is that it's okay. For Anogolayu area here, I don't think we have a well or borehole. Our source of water we get is mostly the stream here. We are many, up to 200 or 300.
The animals too come here to drink. Wilson takes the water home to his wife, who immediately uses it to wash their dishes.
A lot of people have been falling sick because it's very, very dirty and you can't drink that water. But sometimes when there is no water, you have to force and take it that way. You can get a cholera from there. Stomach pains, you can get it from there.
Many of the residents here also create dugouts near their homes for water. Assemblyman for the Pualugu electoral area, Moses Adongo, says water scarcity is a problem affecting the entire Pualugu township.
The population of Pualugu is within 5,000 to 6,000 as we speak today. And there are over 1,000 people suffering on water. The supply of the water isn't enough. Now that we are struggling with assembly to see if we can get
a borehole.
For now, the people of Anogolayu here in Pualugu continue to depend largely on the dirty water from their streams and dugouts until an intervention arrives. Albert Sori, Joy News, Pualugu.
And that's our safe water campaign you've been looking out for the others in this series. But following a huge public outpour, the Health Ministry today backtracked on a proposal to make it mandatory for non-resident visitors to Ghana to get a health insurance policy. However, the ministry says the proposal is still under consideration by the National Health Insurance Authority, even though it is yet to get cabinet approval. Earlier reports suggested that starting from July 1, 2024, foreign nationals arriving in Ghana must purchase a compulsory health insurance policy ranging from $45 to $270 before being admitted into the country.
Well, this is what the Chief Executive Office of the National Health Insurance Authority told us last month about the policy.
One thing that I have to mention, one of the things that we are bringing on board is also the case that our visitors coming to this country must have mandatory health insurance. When you travel to when you travel there and you are sick, you need to benefit from the NHIA.
Right.
Okay, there. So it's the same thing. Visitors come. In fact, it's covered in our act that the non-Ghanaians must be covered. So I've seen a situation where some of my friends have come to this country and they are sick and they are calling me, which facilities do we go? So what we're doing is that once we give them mandatory visitors insurance, then it means that we designate facilities for them. So when they come and they are not well, they can go there. In fact, that can also bring additional resources to the NHIA, and which is really fantastic. It's also a case of expanding the scheme. And, you know, the Ghana card will also be issued to non-Ghanaians. So once we do that, it is all towards achieving the universal health coverage. For me, it's very good. And I think those are the things that we must be focusing on. And I'm excited that obviously all these things are coming together for the government.
So among others, the policy or the policy document formulated in 2023, cited by Joy News, makes it clear that only health insurance companies in the private sector will underwrite the program, with NHIA acting as the regulator. But the Health Ministry in a statement says President Akufo-Addo's cabinet has yet to approve of a policy. I mean, there have been reactions and concerns about this particular proposal. The Center for Democratic Development's fellow on public health, Kwame Sapong-Essiedu, is concerned about the possible breaches of the law. He tells more show host Winston Namwa that there is the need for transparency in the selection process.
Because every country globally, we are going towards universal health coverage where finance should not be a barrier at the point of use of health, it would be difficult to disagree with the policy. The policy in itself is not a bad thing. So we need to know what stone they are stepping on. Because there are rumors, and I'll not put the name out, but there are rumors that there is an insurance company selected to underwrite this. And if that is true, then we need to know the process of the selection.
I look at the policy and says, 25, says, the National Health Insurance Authority will ensure that only private commercial health insurance schemes are qualified to apply for license to operate under the non-resident visitors health insurance scheme.
Thank you. So there is some disingenuity in the statement that the Ministry of Health has put out today. The NHI is the regulator, is the statutory regulator, but they are not going to operationalize this. And private insurers are going to, and that is clearly stated in black and white.
Yes.
The question I ask is, who is or are these private insurers underwriting this policy? Because there would have to be a bid to identify the private insurance companies. Who are they? And that is what our eyes should be following.
Yes, and talking about that, it says, in this regard, a certificate of qualification and capability of healthcare providers and facilities will be critically assessed to ascertain their ability to effectively provide healthcare services under this.
So you have got to, how were they selected? When was this tender opened? Do we have transparency in that respect? The things that should happen before this is arrived at hadn't happened, or if they had happened, we're not aware of it. So was it sole sourcing? If it was sole sourcing, why?
That's Kwame Saponsiedu on the Super Morning Show. Time for the National Science and Maths Quiz.
And indeed, we are following what's happening across the country as it relates to the National Science and Maths Quiz and the boys and girls from Methodist Senior High School. Takrady seem to have found the equation to building an unsinkable ship because they are promising to sail to the nationals of this year's competition. The schools have never qualified to the national stage in the history of the NSMQ. I guess that's a similar story to one that I know in the Volta region. I haven't mentioned any school's name, by the way. And somebody's already protesting. Although rated the underdogs of the first contest of the day, two of the Western Regional qualified, they said that they built a strong Titanic to help them sail through. But you know Titanic, right? What happens to it? It was sunk by an iceberg.
What you come to show them now? It's like the thing, they sound like we are underdogs. Be like they've in fact exempted us from their budget. But we are coming to show them that we are the main thing to consider.
You are the main items to consider in the budget.
Yes.
You come and do the proper expenses.
The thing that we are going to show them, unless they don't do the competition.
How many points would you use to show them Pepe?
Oh, points. Oh, the point there. How many should we do?
And get to the river, you know how to cross it.
The points they can't tell. But James Aveji is on the ground for us from the Western region. Did that ship certainly sail?
Interestingly, the ship sank really low into the belly of the sea because they trailed in that competition with just 12 points. PSMA Senior High School won with 50 points. Now, they say that their problem was that they interchanged their X and Ys on stage. That is why the formula couldn't work. You heard there another contestant telling me that they wanted to be the main item on the menu. He also tells me that things didn't work well. They came prepared for palm nut soup, only to realize that what is being prepared on stage was lye soup. And so they'll go back and update their ingredients and come back better next year.
Well, on that palm nut soup and light soup note, let me take you to the Upper West region. Emmanuel Bright-Kweku is monitoring events there for us. Emmanuel, I hope there's certainly no soup on the menu.
Well, definitely, MFR, there was no soup here in the Upper West region. And so far, we've had some 5 schools that have qualified to the national stage. I'm talking about St. Francis Xavier SHS, and we have also the St. Francis of Assisi Girls SHS. We also have Namdom SHS. Unfortunately, they last year couldn't qualify, but this time they are back. And they actually told me that their target is Prempe College in this championship. This year, they are only targeting Prempe College to make a record for themselves that they have eliminated Prempe College from the National Science and Math Quiz. And so these are the schools that have qualified from here in the Upper West region.
And that's Emmanuel Bright-Kweku and James Aveji. They're giving us updates on this. Has St. Thomas Aquinas qualified?
To the national competition?
No, first round.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.